Ladies and gentlemen, in this podcast, we have got Ali Michelle from Aliaid, a personal assistant company based in Perth, who's doing really well on Instagram, doing really well with managing her content. She joined us live on Monday Night Live, and here is the episode for your listening pleasure. Don't forget to share it with your friends if you find it valuable, and make sure also you follow Aliaid, Aliaide, on Instagram as well. Thanks for listening. Because it's my first, it's the first frame is the thumbnail.
Oh, you were like,
yeah. Hey, what's up? Welcome to Monday Night Live. If you're joining us live, welcome. And drop a comment with which city you're tuning in from. I'm always amazed with the, you know, vast differences between where people are from and tuning in on LinkedIn. I mean, I know it's 6 p.m. in Perth, 8 p.m. a bit later on the East Coast, but we normally have guys from South Africa, from the UK. I don't know if it's too early in the US. You're probably wondering who is sitting next to me if you've seen a couple of the posts leading up to this live. This is Ali. Is it Mitchell or how do you pronounce it?
Michelle. It is Michelle. Yeah, except Michelle. French. And a lot of people say like Michelle or Mitchell. It becomes like a family tradition. But the way I say it is Michelle.
Ali Michelle. Okay. Well, welcome. Ali runs a personal assistant business called Aliaid. We crossed paths last year at a little event called LinkedIn. Oh, no, it was the Instagram interview with Brooke Vilinovich for LinkedIn Heroes. That's right. And then I started following Aliaid on Instagram and on Facebook. And, you know, I've got to say, I don't dish out compliments very often in regards to people's social media, but I was very impressed with the way that you communicated your story through your content. And especially since, like, through COVID, how you managed to maintain a brand presence. Like, I think that the content was very positive. You're very consistent. And so I commend you on that. And I can't wait to share your story with our viewers on Monday Night Live.
Woo! Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
No worries. Now, I'm curious to hear, and I'm sure everyone else is, how you got started in business and, you know, whether being an entrepreneur is something that, you know, came to you early in life, that came naturally, or is it something you developed later? How did it all get started?
It definitely didn't come to me early on in life. I actually never really thought that I would be an entrepreneur or a small business owner or anything of the like. As silly as it sounds and as cliche as it sounds, it sort of fell into my lap. I did put a lot of hard work in and made it happen for myself. But I used to live in Adelaide before I came over to Perth, and I'm from Brisbane. So I've moved around all over the shop, and I've been, you know, job hopping, but it's always been a strategized move. I've always moved up. My background's in events management. So I went from like an event assistant role to a management role, and then I've had lots of little, admin roles in between of that. But when I finished up with a small contract role in Adelaide, I actually got a call over Christmas to one of the event managers that I'd worked with in that role. She was like, "I've heard you've left. I want you to come and work for me." And I was like, "Oh, my God, amazing." Like, here I was like, "Oh, I'm not going to have a job. It's Christmas. I need money. I need a job. I need a life." So in the new year, I started working with her, and it was for a few years. I think it was for about 2 years. And during that time, I started off, I think it was one or two days with her doing office role, admin role, and helping her with massive events. I mean, small family events, but big, big gala events that had real punchy budgets. I'd come from a not-for-profit background, so me working in something that had really good budget was awesome. But she wasn't giving me any full-time hours. So I was like, I need to keep this role because it's amazing, but I need to find more of it. And I just started doing that. I started going, okay, this is what I'm doing. I need more of it, and finding jobs through that. And I was paid through my ABN anyway. So I just ended up attaching a brand to it, and it became Ali. And the rest is history pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I think when you're good at what you do, it kind of ends up leading in that direction. And before you know it, you've got, you know, a business, basically. I've done a lot of work with VAs myself, and I've spoke at the Australian Virtual Assistance Conference in Melbourne once. But it always strikes me as a business which might be quite stressful because you've got multiple clients that may or may not be consistent, and you need to keep your schedule full. And then I guess what would happen if you know, with one particular company that the, you know, they got their expectations might be too much and they want you to work for them more, but you can't because you've got other clients. Is that sort of stressful to manage? How do you find it?
It's not stressful to manage. I think sometimes it becomes frustrating, but I've pivoted in like every client that I bring on board, because really it comes down to how I communicate the way I work. So I sort of say to new clients, like, you aren't, even though I love you and you've come on and I value you, you're not my only client. So I think it's just about setting the boundaries there and saying, you know, as much as you'd like me to get something done like I would a part-time or a full-time staff member of yours, the reality is I'm working with, you know, up to 10 of you, and it's just a matter of respecting those time boundaries and stuff and being open. I mean, the more I've been open and honest with, like, oh, no, I can actually get that done for you, but in 3 days' time. I mean, they're like, cool, yeah, no worries. So it's just a matter of, being open and honest about that. And I'm really lucky. I've got some pretty good clients that are like, yeah, you've actually got a life to live. You're not just this robot on the other side of the screen. So,
Well, I think it's really valuable service. If you can set those expectations up front, that shouldn't become a problem. But, okay, and since you started the business, what would you say would be the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome as an entrepreneur, you know? I mean, because we get heaps of them. I'm sure there's lots to choose from.
I love it. Like, everyone that's aspiring to be their own business owner haven't yet, like, gone into the full throttle of actually owning a business. And I don't think anyone really, like, sets you up for that until you go through it yourself. I think for me, like, being a natural extrovert, like, I think the one thing that hit me like a truck when I first, you know, started working from my office by myself was how lonely it was going to be. I really struggled with, like, not having people around me to gossip with and have lunch with and just go grab a coffee and stuff. So I think for me, it was like the loneliness. I never really thought about it. I was like, I'll be fine. And I think that's the biggest one for me.
I've experienced that as well. And during COVID, it's sort of come back a little bit. Is there anyone that's tuning in live had a similar sort of experience with starting their own business and found it quite isolating? I'm curious to hear. Let us know in the chat. I guess if you've got any questions as well for Ali, then drop them in the chat as well, because we'll probably circle back and bring them up at the end. But that's a big one. And so do you feel like you've managed to overcome it, or?
Yeah, definitely. Like, as I was talking to you before all this when we went live, I have recently started doing my own meetups each month. Just been running those each month with, you know, pre-COVID times, obviously. And that's really helped me in, you know, strengthening the Perth community and, you know, getting time out of my office.
That's awesome. That's exactly what, when I moved back to Perth, I was like, I still had all my clients in Melbourne, and I was like, I haven't got to meet some Perth entrepreneurs. I don't necessarily need to do business with them. I set up a meetup group as well, did exactly the same thing. That's what I did.
And it's so important to have that. I think also when you commit to something, it makes you get out of the office and do it. Whereas if you're like, oh, I'm just going to wait for people to ask me to do something, it doesn't really happen like you think it would. So you take control of that, and I think you have to create your own reality. And if you don't want to be lonely, you just have to do what you can to get out of the office.
I'm looking forward to getting back into the, you know, working environment. Working from home has been it's been good. I mean, like, I literally wouldn't have this guy with me if I didn't go through COVID.
So smooshy. I have a rabbit around somewhere. If she comes in, grab her and show everyone. Everyone knows If people follow me on Instagram, they always see your face pop up on my stories. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. So tell me about your, or share with everyone else, your LinkedIn experience lately.
It's very limited. So funny. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going on a show with Nat Pivi. He's like, LinkedIn explore. And I'm like, I've got no experience. No, but I do have my own, like, obviously my profile is set up on there and I've got a really good connection on there. Like, I've, or whenever I've gone to a networking event or I've worked, you know, through my 9 to 5s, I've always made an effort to make sure I've added people on there and I stay connected and keep all my job roles, you know, obviously before I had Aliaid up to date. Because for me, like, even when I'm doing research tasks for clients, LinkedIn is a huge search engine that I go to find, like, contact information or, you know, the roles that people are in. I use it for, I guess, as a search engine. Yeah. But I was laughing when I was sharing this live video that I had a notification come up going, congratulations on your first post. And I was like, oh, that's really embarrassing.
This is good news for me because LinkedIn, they push people's first post harder than they push any other post. So it should mean that we get a lot of traffic. That's awesome. But your Instagram is really good. I know that are you a member of a social club or you follow?
I'm not. Brooke's going to hate me for that, but I'm not. I really wanted to join it. And same with there's another group called Fusion Biz Babes. I really wanted to join all that, but I just, for me, like, I am busy enough. And for me, I knew deep down that I'm like, if I pay for that and join it, I'm not going to fully utilize it.
That's smart.
And she's amazing, though. I do not discount that group at all. I feel like if people want help with their social media and they want really good bite-sized nuggets and a lot of fun, great group to be a part of.
Yeah. Well, I joined and I barely get the time ever to check the weekly emails. But when I do, there's so much value there that I don't feel comfortable cancelling.
Yeah, so, I get good. Main mailing list, and even in that, she just gives out so much free value I can only imagine how much value she gives in the membership as well.
So do you do like things like Instagram marketing for any of your clients?
I don't do Instagram marketing, but I do help with like a lot of the content scheduling and curation. So I'll do the typical like caption with the photo or the quote tile and schedule that, but it's at a base level. I don't offer a lot of Instagram social media management services per se. When I first started out, I did, and I realized that it just wasn't my strong point. Like, my strong skill set is in organization and streamlining processes. Like, give me a good Excel spreadsheet, I'll work on that for like 12 hours and it will not tire me. But social media management, like, I'll, you know, do a few weeks worth of one client and I'm like, okay, that's my day. Like, my brain is tired from it. So I can do it, and I think, you know, the end result is really good when I do get there, but my brain, uses a lot more brain power than, say, doing email management or Excel spreadsheets and organization and all of that. So, that's a good point in that, like, you've got to stick to your skill set, I think, and, like, really nail it. So,
Yeah, and on that note, I think that being organized and what you said about Excel spreadsheets and stuff, I think we have different skill sets, you and I. And I'm fascinated to learn about being organized. I mean, it's something that, don't get me wrong, like, I am well organized in my business, and it's because I have to be, but it's not something that came naturally to me. Like, when I was working for somebody else, I was the only guy that, you know, was always late to sales meeting or didn't report reporting properly. But I was the best salesperson, and so I was like, you know, oh, well, what are you going to do? But now you're a business owner, it's like you cannot afford to not be well organized. So, what tips can you share with some of the people watching that may own a business to get organized? I mean, it's something that I think that a lot of the people watching will struggle with, from going from, like, literally just having like one person, if that, working for them, to being able to manage a team and step back from the company? Like, what some nuggets of wisdom can you share with us?
Well, I can't actually speak from experience with running a whole team. I mean, I work with clients, but my business is just me. So I don't have a huge amount of tips for, I guess, a team environment. But for like a solopreneur or entrepreneur, small business owner, I mean, for me, what's worked is, you know, obviously getting your schedule correct and right for you. I think coming out at, like, if you're a small business owner or even in a 9-to-5, I think, like, you need to find a routine that works for you and stick to it. And I think not necessarily going by the whole, like, you must get up at 5 a.m. and do this. Like, if that is not you, don't do it, because your productivity just goes down when you're trying to, you know, push something that isn't going to go with how you work. I mean, for me, I think when I'm scheduling all my tasks in for the day, I look at, you know, what are the high energy tasks that, you know, require a lot of energy and, you know, brain power, and I schedule them first in the day or towards the start of the day, because that's when I'm real, like, roaring to go and I have a lot of motivation. And then I schedule in things like emails and getting back to DMs and, like, the smaller tasks that don't require a lot of energy for later in the day. So I think if you can write down your whole task list and focus on, you know, high energy versus low energy and schedule your day in with that, that's a really good way to start. I mean, obviously, if you've got the budget, outsourcing tasks that you don't like doing is a huge one, and that's the reason why I exist. So I think, yeah, if you've got a lot of, you know, if you don't want to do your bookkeeping, or if you don't want to do your email management or social media management, like, there is someone out there that loves doing that stuff. So I think you've got the budget. It doesn't have to be large. I mean, it can be a few hours a month to start with. You then actually will see how much more money and time you'll have in outsourcing that stuff. You've actually freed up energy, your own energy, to focus on what you do best in your own business.
I'm a night owl. So, like, when I have to do anything creative, I always schedule it in for the evenings.
I know so many people like that, and I am so not a night owl. Like, it's 6:15 right now. I am usually sitting down to dinner and watching, like, maybe The Voice or something. Like, this is not the time that I work. I am so much more a morning person.
Yeah. No, people tell me that I'm not the friendliest person in the morning, so I try to stay off the phone. And we've got a question here from Paul Hogden over in the UK. He says, what's the secret to maximising a relationship with a VA? This is a great question.
That is a good question. So I guess if you know you're in a position where you do have the budget and the tasks available to outsource to a VA, I guess the best secret to maximising a relationship with a VA is to know exactly what you want before you engage them. I think as soon as you engage them, you should have a really good task list ready to go and a really nice idea of how many hours that, you know, you're willing to budget for that, and being realistic. I mean, like any time you bring on a staff member, you really have to allow enough time for them to be onboarded and get trained up, especially if you've got a lot of software within your business that they may not necessarily be an expert in, but, you know, you're wanting them to be a part of your team. As soon as you get them on board, you're paying them essentially. So you don't want to be running around going, oh, I think I want this, oh, I think I want that, and then sort of wasting your money trying to figure it out with them. Don't get me wrong, you can do that if you're a little bit unsure. You might be able to schedule a phone call with them and talk through your pain points in your business and then work out a task list from there. But maximizing that is, definitely going in with knowing your business back to front and knowing how that person is going to fit into your business nicely.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you want to outsource the things that you naturally don't want to do or not good at, but you've got to kind of know how you want them done, haven't you, before you can delegate them?
You do. You've got to be realistic. Like, if you're going to get a VA on board and you expect them to know something straight away, that's not being realistic. And I think if you most VAs, you can ask to do a trial with them as well. Like, you might say, I'll pay, you know, 20 hours for the month. At the end of the month, we'll, you know, get together and see what was working. I work with an amazing client that goes, well, what do you enjoy doing, Alex? Because I'm not going to give you tasks that you actually don't like doing, because you're not going to do a great job at it. Like, I'd rather go get another VA to do it. And it's nothing like, I think a lot of VAs take that to heart, and it's like, you don't have to be it all for someone. You just got to like nail what you do best. So if you're trying to find a VA for social media management and you get a VA that specializes in admin, they might not be amazing. So you're allowed to you know, jump from VA to VA. I mean, you're the one that's paying for it. It's just keeping those communication lines open and being open and honest. And, yeah, doing a trial plan. You're well within the right to do that.
Yeah. So do you plan, as your business, you know, builds its brand, to bring on people that work with you, or not necessarily?
Oh, I've been asked this question so many times. Like, you're saying, asking if I'm going to build it to have a few people within my business?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been asked this question a few times, and I've ummed and ahed about it, because there's definitely room for growth in terms of, you know, running sort of, I guess, like more of like an agency style business, where, you know, someone might, you know, come on board and they only do social media management, or they run a certain part of my business. At the moment, I like where it's going with just me. Maybe a year ago I was like, yes, I'm going to get someone on board. But every time I talk to my clients, whether they're new, old, they're, you know, left and they're growing, they always say that they've worked with me because it was me. And it's really hard to replicate that. So I think that's maybe why I haven't expanded, is that I'd need to get over that, I guess, difficulty.
Well,
I can't replicate myself.
I mean, you could also, you know, consider going into helping other VAs establish their business eventually. That could be an option. Don't have to. I wanted to have 100 employees when I started. I wanted to be the biggest LinkedIn marketing agency in the world. And as soon as I started hiring them, I just thought, this is not what I want. I got up to nine people, and I was like, this is stressful as.
And that's the thing, like, for me, I got into small business to, like, try and not have a stressful life and have a flexible life and still do that while helping others. And I think a lot of people still sort of, if when you say, oh, like, I actually just want my business to be me, they're like, why? Like, don't you want it to be more successful? I'm like, who says it's not successful?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
People say success looks like a large agency or a large business or company. It's like, sometimes you've got to work like 10 times harder and to get to success. And so for me, I'm like, I don't know if that's what I want.
That's very smart. I love that.
Never say never, but we'll see. I think I'd prefer to stay me, but then maybe diversify and do something with my chat groups a little bit more. And I have been talking about like memberships. I've been throwing that word around. So we'll see. The future holds a lot.
And how important has social media, and I'm assuming that it's mainly Instagram, but how important has social media been in growing your business and growing your brand?
It's been huge. I would say, like, honestly, I would say like 95%. If I didn't have social media, I probably wouldn't have my business, especially I've moved around cities a lot with my business as well. And I think, like, for me, I started out planning all my content. I had a really big motivation and planned out all my content before I even started getting clients, and then, you know, shared that and got in contact with people. And I think when I moved from Adelaide to Perth, I had like a target list. It was so funny. I have it somewhere in my computer. It's like a target list of people that I wanted to like follow and get in contact and, you know, get business from. And that was all through social media and Instagram. And I've made, you know, not, you know, put business aside, I mean, I've made a lot of friends in Perth just through social media. As I was saying before, like, it's almost like dating. Like, you've almost got to go on dates to find friends as an adult, and also like clients and stuff. Because I think, you know, I'm in a fairly unique situation that I've moved around a few times in Australia, and not everyone has done the same thing. And you know, in cities, you know, people have their own friendship groups.
Perth's very clicky. It's very a bit clicky. Like, I grew up here, but all my friends, when I moved here a year and a half ago, they all got kids in white picket fences, and I moved back. You know, all my friends in Melbourne, I think, are single, you know, so it's like
my dog and I.
It took some time to adapt, but I certainly have now. I love Perth. I think it's fantastic.
I love Perth too. It's grown on me, I guess, since I started building my little biz community as well. I've got a lot of solid friendships out of that. So that's definitely made me love Perth more. When I first got here, it was pretty lonely because I'm originally from Brisbane, so like it's so far away. It's on the other side of the country, so I didn't know anyone from Perth. Like, usually when you live over east, you know people from Sydney or Melbourne or, you know.
Yeah.
But no one, I knew no one over in Perth when I moved. So you really have to jump outside your comfort zone. I'm quite blessed that I'm an extrovert. So I had on my side, if I was an introvert, I would have struggled, I think, to really put myself in a position where, like, where I could meet people and find clients. And word of mouth's huge. So, yes, back to your question of social media, it's massive for me. It's a really good community, like it fosters community as well as business for me.
Yeah, and with your content, like I think that your images are great, but the captions as well, like they're really well written. You seem to share stories exceptionally well. Is that something that just came naturally to you, or you've done some training or read some books or something?
I haven't read books. I don't read books a lot. I would love to get into reading, but I think university killed it for me. I read so many textbooks that I can't read again. So I need to get that. I think that for me, I think it's like taking the pressure off, like always having to post. So like I think if you jump onto my Instagram, like my last post was like last Monday, but some weeks I post like 3 or 4 times a week. And it's taking that pressure off myself to only post when I actually have something good to say or something of substance. I think nowadays you see a lot of businesses posting for the sake of posting, and you can tell. So I think I prefer that energy to writing good posts when I feel like there's something either knowledgeable to share, like a good tip or a trick, or you know, coming up, or just.
A conversational language as well that you use on Instagram. Like a lot of business owners, and I think some of the guys like tuning in from LinkedIn will relate to this, like because they're so used to in the business world writing these formal emails using correct spelling in English. Like in order to post in a conversational form, like you do very well, it doesn't come naturally to most people. And it is a skill as well to be able to write like you talk. Would you agree?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, for me, sometimes I do.
You're a natural.
I'm a natural. I'll take that. But I sometimes sit on my computer and I do actually like say it as I'm typing. And it's funny, like if you are someone that struggles with writing captions and you brain dump a caption, actually say it out loud and you'll find that you'll change probably 30% to 40% of it because it sounds really funny when you say it out loud. That's a really good tip, I guess, and that I do without. Well, now I'm thinking about it, I actually do that. So, if you can write out your captions and then say it out loud, sometimes it sounds a bit, boring or robotic or unnatural. So, that's a tip.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like it. Because we just end up like jamming too many words in most of the time. If you speak like if you write your captions like you speak, as long as you don't speak, you know, terrible. It should work really well. Like on LinkedIn, I think it's the same thing. Like the only thing is we use less emojis than Instagram.
Yeah, I love emojis. I'm an emoji. I love it.
What's your favorite emoji?
Oh, I don't know. I do. It depends. I think I use, like, if you go to your iPhone or whatever and it shows you your top, I think mine at the moment is the party hat, like, streamer face.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, which means there's been a lot of excitement in my life. It's great.
Yeah, that's very positive. You don't want it to be, like, the poo emoji or something like that, do you? So things might not be going that well.
one very often, I must say.
I got a question. I hate to steal the spotlight, but somebody's asking me what the best course is for LinkedIn lead generation. This is like a perfect setup for my online course. I just like, I'll have to send Mrs. Zeese a check. LinkedInsider.com.au is the best course for LinkedIn lead generation. I'm glad we threw that one in there. That was very handy. What's the secret of sales? This would be something that you'd be able to comment on as well. Because I think that particularly when you're running your own business, like I went from selling a lot for an employer to actually selling less when I started a company, because I knew I had to deliver the work as well, you know? And so I think like if your resources are limited as a small business owner, you have to start to put in boundaries in place as to what clients, you know, a good fit, but also what client's not a good fit, because if you start working with everyone, you reach capacity relatively easy. And I found that when you position yourself as a thought leader, having that sort of scarcity about, you know, who you can work with and who you can't work with means that generally clients are happy to, well, first of all, pay for your service because you can't work with everyone. And you know, I'm extremely good at what I do, even if I do say so myself. But then also they treat you better as well, don't they? I mean, they treat you better because they value the service a lot more. Ali, I know you must have do the same thing. Do you have a very clear idea of who you don't work with?
I do now. When I first started out, I didn't really know who I wanted to work with. So I didn't say yes to everyone, but I was a lot less, I guess, strict with, you know, the type of person that I wanted to work with, because I wanted to figure out when I first started, you know, the types of tasks that I wanted to keep doing and what I didn't want to do. So that was a journey in itself, and my service list has evolved over the years. It's gotten much smaller, because I think like when I first started, I was like, I can do all of this, but that's different to I want to only do this much. The other stuff doesn't make me happy, or you know, I didn't want my, you know, 8 hours in the day to be full of stuff I didn't like doing when I was ultimately in control of my business and how I, you know, value my time, and my clients want to know that I'm happy in what I'm doing as well, because then they get a better outcome. So with sales, like going back to sales, for me, I was pretty lucky. Like I've never really had to do a hard sell. It was all through word of mouth, and like just being myself on my Instagram has managed to get the types of clients that I like to get. Obviously, you do get the random, you know, one or two people that are like, this is not a good fit. And I'm honest about it now. I just go, look, I'm a VA. I don't do everything. What you're after, this person would be better suited. Or I sometimes just say like that we're not a good fit if I figure out that not my ideal client. And I think
you know your audience very well. So like when you're not really having conversations with people that often that you need to convince, you know.
I'm very lucky.
I think that's it. Like, because if it's like real estate agents, right? Like, if a real estate agent's there and they're desperate to get your listing, and you're not even sure if you want to sell your house, you just want to get a price. Like, it's going to come across like they're salesy. But as if they come to you and say, "Look, the purpose of today is just to give you the information. It's perfectly okay if we don't do anything, but if you want to sell your house, I'm here when you're ready." Like, it takes the pressure off. And I think that like you got to get to a place where you're not trying to convince somebody to do something they don't want to do. It's more so just finding out which people do have the need and which people don't, so that you're speaking to the right people in the first place.
And I think, like, as a small business owner, like, for me, I've definitely come into my skin a lot more over the last few years. Like, I've realized the strength in just opening up to everyone and being a real person and a real human, rather than trying to put up like I'm professional, don't get me wrong, but I'm also like, this is me. And I think a lot of my clients love that and they resonate with it, and they're like, look, like I have children as well. Like I get it. Stuff happens or whatever. So it's really nice environment to be in when you can be 100% yourself and your clients stick around, and it's just a really good relationship when it works like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, we've already gone over half an hour. It's like, you know.
Talking forever.
That's a good, I mean, it's a good sign. I very rarely go over half an hour. So obviously this has been good, valuable content. We've had quite a few people join us from Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I'm going to encourage Ali to respond to any of the comments that come through. So if you don't get a chance to watch this live, do drop your questions in. Someone's just, what's this one? I am queen if you don't want to pay for a product. I don't have advice. You look for peasant shops. Some of the LinkedIn users don't come through with names unless they, I think, unless they're connected. Thanks so much, Ali. Is there anything that you'd like to add? Is there a resource that you'd like to point people towards or follow you on Instagram? What's your Instagram handle?
Yeah, definitely go and give me a follow on Instagram. I'm on there all the time, mostly daily. So you can go and follow me. It's Allyaide. It's Allyaide.
Allyaide. Yeah, awesome. Well, we're going to have a conversation offline about getting some of my organization and processes improved, I think. That was really valuable. Thanks so much for joining us and for everybody watching. Have a fantastic week in business. Go kick some ass, and I'll see you next Monday on Monday Night Live. Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
And we're out.